welcome to Second City Sports on Chicagoland SportsRadio.com. Lakina, Jason, and Evan with you today. Kevin's still off, and so is Romy.
We miss you, Kev.
And Romy's off as well. But we'll miss you too. Miss you too, Romy. But
not so much.
Oh, goodness.
And I don't miss Kevin as much.
Oh, goodness. We kid. Because we love. Okay, so we're going to get right to it. One of the things we like doing about this show, actually all the shows here on CSR, is that we get to talk with some great people in the business. We're about to talk NFL, maybe a little bit NBA too with one right now. He's an NFL draft analyst for NFL.com. You see him on the NFL Network. He also hosts a radio show in Houston, Lanzieran at Lanzieran on Twitter. Lance, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
We're doing good. Now, let's get right to it. Now, Leonard Fournette has lost about 12 pounds, it looks like, and he had a really big, speedy time in his pro day at LSU yesterday. Where do you see him going in the draft?
Well, I think yesterday showing up at 228 pounds. Anybody, you know, the only thing anyone could say about him was he was 240 pounds, which is a little heavier than you wanted. At the combine, he came in and he had always proclaimed that that was water weight. And, you know, he played in the low 230s, according to scouts. So he came in at 228 yesterday. The people I talked to who were there said he looked unbelievable physically. You already know that he's a fast, powerful, explosive player. He's not a sudden guy. He's not a shifty runner. So if you're looking for, you know, Christian McCaffrey or Dalvin Cook type movement laterally, you're not going to find that. But if you want, you know, a banger and a guy who can really run with incredible speed for that size, like a, you know, a Bo Jackson type, then that's going to be your guy. So I think he could come off the board at 6 to the Jets or maybe 8 to the Carolina Panthers. I don't think he'll make it past the Bengals if he falls into that territory.
Afternoon, Lance. This is Jason. So, to me, Joe Mixon is one of the more interesting players in this draft. It's been well publicized. He's had, you know, off the field issues, but you still right. Got some analysts sort of ranking him maybe going as high as the second round. What's your thoughts on that, and do you see him going that high?
So, I was talking to scouts yesterday who were in the car together. They had a speakerphone on, and Joe Mixon came up. And one guy said, oh, he's definitely going inside the first two rounds. And the other guy said, no chance. You know, you can't run away. I don't care how talented you are. You can't run away from that video. That an owner is going to have to answer questions multiple times after a draft, and they're not going to want that kind of, you know, that kind of attention to the team. But I thought somebody made a really good point. They said, you know, Lance, if you draft Joe Mixon with the second pick of the draft or the last pick of the draft, you're going to have the exact same amount of attention from the media about who the player is and the video that is out there. And I thought about it, and he's right. You're going to get that attention one way or another. So if you're going to buy into drafting Joe Mixon, the person, forget the player. The player is very talented. But if you're going to draft the player, if you're going to be okay with the player, then you've made a decision that you can handle the media attention locally and nationally that is going to come with it, not only at the beginning of the year, but all the way through the year, especially if Mixon plays well, because we saw that with Tyreek Hill and the Chiefs, how the spotlight got much brighter as the season went on. So, you know, if you assume that that's the case, that a team is going to be ready to take him, then what's the difference in taking him in the fifth round or the second round? So, I think he ultimately could go in the second round because he's definitely talented enough to go in the second round. I've heard teams split on what they think of the person. Some teams believe that he is a good guy who made a mistake and that he's not the same person. And there are other teams who think he's kind of a con and that he's, you know, if he gets another opportunity in the league, that there is a chance if he's not with the right team and the right leadership in the locker room, he could put himself in a bad situation. So it'll be interesting. You know, he's not going to be on everyone's board. There's no question. And I think he's only going to be on the boards of maybe 4 to 6 teams. But it could end up being a race to see who will pull the trigger first on Joe Mixon between those 4 to 6 teams.
Yeah, he is that third best running back in the draft, I got to say. Keep it with the running backs, Lance. I like Leonard Fournette. I'll also like Dalvin Cook. So wonder where the best landing spot is for him. Maybe if he goes in the early 20s to the Giants, possibly. I know a lot of analysts, including yourself, have him dropping out of that first round. But where do you think is that best landing spot?
I think ultimately he'll go in the first. You know, I just got going on a draft. I don't have a preconceived notion of what I'm going to do. And I had opportunities to put him with teams like Tampa Bay, with the Giants, maybe even Green Bay, and I opted against it for other players. Ultimately, there are some concerns about a shoulder. There are some concerns about some character stuff off the field. But I think that landing spots that would make the most sense for him are the teams I just mentioned. Green Bay typically is not going to draft a running back in the first, so you might be able to scratch them off. But I think Tampa Bay makes some sense with Doug Martin having his problems. And obviously the New York Giants also are a good landing spot. So the Kansas City Chiefs, I wouldn't sleep on the Chiefs. If the Chiefs have a shot at 27 and Pat Mahomes is off the board, I think the Chiefs could find their next Jamaal Charles in Dalvin Cook. So I think those are some teams that would make some sense. But I don't think he's going to go as high as everyone had initially projected. And I'm not sure he's going to go as high as what I think he is in terms of where he ranks on this board. I think he's a top 10 to 12 player in this draft.
Now let's talk about the Bears for a second, since we're here in Chicago, Lance. There's, you know, there's a lot of buzz about the Bears perhaps
getting Jamaal Adams. There's a lot of mock drafts have him going there. Some people, you know, a lot of mock drafts have him going back to Jonathan Allen. Where do you see the Bears drafting? Because they need a lot of help.
I don't think they'll go Allen, because Allen's got some shoulder concerns that I think are going to cause him to fall a little bit. I had Bears fans come after me for putting Solomon Thomas there. These people must not watch any football. Like, it must just be Bears, Bulls, Cubs, and that's it, with some Blackhawks mixed in. Because that guy is a player and would fit the Chicago defensive front. I do think, however, that their need for cornerback is so great, and the need at safety on the back end in general is so great, that really there's three players: Malik Hooker from Ohio State, Jamaal Adams from LSU, and Marshawn Lattimore from Ohio State. I think those are the three players that could potentially land with Chicago Bears. But as I mentioned, if Solomon Thomas is available, I mean, he's a unique player because he can stand up and rush if you need him to. He can play a 4-3 defensive end for when you use kind of a sub package. He can play a 3-4-5 technique. He can bump inside to the 3 technique as a defensive tackle. And he's got a ferocious motor. So I think that he would be a great guy to target. I've got no problem with Jonathan Allen, the football player. I wonder if Chicago would be okay taking a player with some shoulder concerns as early as 3.
Good stuff, Lance. So I want to switch gears a little bit and talk about, you know, the quarterbacks in the draft. In some order, you know, everybody's got Trubisky, Watson, and Deshaun Kizer as those top 3 quarterbacks. But is there a quarterback that is under the radar, or which one of those 3 quarterbacks would you say is more pro-ready?
Out of Trubisky, Watson, and which one?
Kizer.
Well, let's throw Mahomes in there too, because Mahomes might be the first quarterback drafted. There's a lot of love on the streets for Pat Mahomes. And so we've got to factor him in there, because I think there is a chance he's the first quarterback who gets drafted if quarterbacks fall out of the first 12 to 14 picks. I would say the most pro-ready is Mitchell Trubisky. He's been a full field. Now, he doesn't have the experience Deshaun Watson has, but he's read a full field before in his offense, where Deshaun has been more of a preset read guy, a guy who gets calls from the sideline. So I think from a mental standpoint and from an emotional and leadership and confidence standpoint, that's going to be Deshaun Watson. From a physical standpoint and from a schematic standpoint, it would be Trubisky. I don't think there's any scenario where Deshaun Kizer is that guy. And frankly, I don't think there's any scenario where Pat Mahomes is that guy either. Those two guys, to me, need the most work, but they also might have the highest upside of the quarterbacks in this draft.
Talking to Lance Zierlin right here on ChicagoandSportsRadio.com of the NFL Network. And Lance, going to the wide receivers, I know Mike Williams coming out of Clemson seemed to be everybody's consensus top number one wide receiver until John Ross blew everybody away and is the fastest man alive right now and getting that. You should have an island at this point. But do you think between the two, who goes first at this point?
Well, I mean, between the two, I think it would be Mike Williams. Between the three, if you throw Corey Davis in, it might be Corey Davis is the first wide receiver. He's yet to run. He's coming back from an injury. But Corey Davis, if he runs in the 4-4 range, which is expected, he could actually be the first wide receiver off the board from Western Michigan. I think John Ross will be the third wide receiver to come off the board. He's a little bit slightly built. He has some injury issues in his background. He's recovering right now, as a matter of fact, or he has been. He was recovering after the season was over. So there's a concern about Ross and where he's going to be physically. There is also a concern about how he handles press coverage and physicality. He was allowed a lot of free releases from Washington. And then when Alabama put him on lockdown, he got beat up by Minka Fitzpatrick, really, really roughed him up and played physical and made it a challenge for him getting off the line of scrimmage. So, you know, I'm not worried about the other two big guys, Mike Williams and Corey Davis, getting off the line of scrimmage. I am a little bit worried about that with John Ross. So I don't think Ross is going to be the first one. I think it will be between Corey Davis from Western Michigan and Mike Williams from Clemson. And I think it's almost too close to call right now.
Now, what about Jabril Peppers? There's a lot of buzz that maybe Washington might be very interested, and then they've heard some, like, maybe Houston might be interested in him, too. Where do you see someone like a Jabril Peppers going?
Yeah, I think the Dolphins make sense, too. Dolphins need linebacker help, and he's kind of rare in the fact that he's a safety, but he's not really a back-end safety. He's a guy that you're going to play around the line of scrimmage. So you can call him a safety because he's not a true linebacker, but he's clearly going to be a hybrid player who is going to potentially stand out on second and third downs because he can be moved all over the field. He can cover in the slot some. He can play some safety on the back end. He can blitz. I think the teams you mentioned make sense. I do think that the Miami Dolphins have a linebacker need, and it has to be the right team now. You can't just say, well, this is a linebacker need or this is a safety need. With Jabril Peppers, he has to fit the right scheme and the right defensive coordinator. It has to be a defensive coordinator who blurs the lines in terms of how he views positions, how he views defensive tackles and defensive ends and linebackers and safeties and corners and safeties. I think that's important. You have to find an open-minded defensive coordinator who has a plan for Jabril Peppers, and that's really going to be the key. I think he's a good football player. I don't think he's a great football player right now, and one of the problems is, to me, Michigan asked him to do too much. When he gets more fine-tuned as a talent and as a prospect, and you say, look, we don't want you to do all these things. We want you to do this amount, but do it really, really well. I think that's when he's going to really take off as a football player. But that's got to be on the right scheme.
Lance, I'm going to keep this one short and quick. Give us one player outside of the top two rounds that you think can make a future NFL impact. We see it all the time in the draft. Who are you looking at outside of the top two rounds?
Yeah. Let me give you a quarterback, Nathan Peterman from Pitt. Kind of has a Kirk Cousins vibe to him. Very accurate, good ball placement. Not a big arm, but a very, very accurate quarterback. I think Nathan Peterman could surprise some people from Pitt. And then I would look for running back Jeremy McNichols from Boise State. He's got a little bit of a shoulder problem, but this guy's getting no buzz, and he is just rock solid. And I've done a pretty decent – last year I had a first-round grade on Jordan Howard, and he went in the fifth round, and he was pretty good right out of the gate. So I'm gonna stick with a little track record of trying to pick an upset here, and I think Jeremy McNichols, running back from Boise State, is going to be that guy at that position.
All right, my last one for you, Lance. Reuben Foster back at the Combine hurt his stock and his outburst at the hospital with the orderlies or whatever. But where do you see his draft stock falling at all, or is he just pound for pound the best inside linebacker in this draft?
Well, he weighs 228 pounds. So, you know, the outbursts or whatever, I don't think that's going to hurt him. Here's what's going to hurt him. He's got stingers in his background. He's got, I think, a shoulder issue is what he's coming off of over at Alabama. So you've got a physical issue with a player who is under 230 pounds and is physical, physical, physical. So how is his body type going to hold up to his physical nature as a player? And does he have the frame to be able to be durable after what you've seen with some injury issues as he's come out of Alabama? So I think there's a chance that he could fall a little bit into potentially even into the 20s in this draft.
Last question, Harden or Westbrook for MVP?
No doubt, James Harden. Look, I mean, I love I think it's sad that there have been so many polarizing opinions and people have looked to tear the other guy down, whoever the other guy down is. These two guys are phenomenal players, and the fan bases are very aggressively in the corner of both players. But I don't think there's a wrong selection. I really don't. James is having a great year. Russell's having a great individual year. But I've been able to see the growth of James Harden as a player and a teammate. And to me, I think what he's meant for them in terms of winning and playing above and beyond expectations would make him the MVP by a very slight margin.
You can read his stuff on all things draft on NFL.com. You can also see him on the NFL Network. Catch him during the coverage of the NFL Draft, April 27th on the NFL Network in Philly. At Lance Zierlin on Twitter, Zierlin. Did I cover everything, Lance?
I think you got everything.
Thanks, Lance. We got to get you back on soon. This is some great stuff.
Yeah, appreciate the time,
Lance. Thanks, Lance.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Lance.